Welcome, and thanks for joining the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, Pastor Huey continues our Sticks and Stones series and the power of our words as he preaches a word titled Prayers That Prevail. So prepare your hearts for a powerful and challenging word from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
I'm excited this morning to share the word of God with you as I continue the series, Sticks and Stones, the power of our words. And the word I'm going to share with you this morning, the word from the Lord, and I believe this is a word from the very heart of God, is entitled Prayers That Prevail. Prayers That Prevail. You know, my wife and I, we have lived out of suitcases for the last 2 weeks. We got one more week left. Of course, Labor Day, we traveled to California, spent 2 or 3 days there, left California and traveled to North Carolina, spent a couple of days there and came back home and had one night at home last Saturday. And due to some work we haven't done at our house because of water flood that took place, we had to leave our house, and we spent the last week in a hotel as they've been doing work, mainly finishing our floors or refinishing our floors. And then today we leave for Virginia, and we'll be there till Friday. So I'm about tired of living out of a suitcase. I'm ready to get things back in order. But while in California, I went out there of course, I serve on the board of directors for Foursquare, and the way the board functions is there's committees that's made up of various leaders throughout the country, but each one of these committees have at least 2 or 3 board members that's on the committee. And one of the committees that I serve on for our board is the National Church Committee. And while in California, I was sharing with two of the fellow NCC members the series that we have been doing on the power of our words, and how God has given us, the fact that I've been sharing how God has given us dominion and authority on earth, and that dominion is exercised by the words that comes out of our mouths, as well as, and I believe the computer was just playing a note. This Jane just played a note. That's okay. As well as how we live our lives, but the words we speak go a long ways in determining the authority or the dominion that we exercise. So as I was sharing about the series that I've been doing, one of the men I was speaking with asked if he could share his story on dominion, which, of course, I was very anxious to hear. Now, let me warn you. If you're a little squeamish, or if you're bothered by bed bugs, you may want to stop up your ears. You have been duly warned. This gentleman's name is Pastor Tim. And Pastor Tim said that a young teenage boy came over to spend a night at their home with his children. And upon arriving at the house, the young man said that his family had been having a problem with bed bugs. But he thought that they had it under control and that everything was okay. Not knowing that the boy had brought bed bugs into their home, Tim and his wife did not think it would be a problem for the kid to stay. Boy, were they wrong. For this young man transported bed bugs into their home, and shortly thereafter, they did not have a bed bug problem, they had a bed bug infestation. So Tim contacted a pest control company, and they charged him $1,900. They came out, and Tim lives in Wisconsin, so they came out and they installed these huge heaters to heat up the temperature in the house to something like 140 degrees. That was the process that this company used to get rid of the bed bugs. The company completed the treatment, and for a few weeks, things seemed to be back to normal. But it didn't last long because the bed bugs resurfaced. So Tim called the company back, only to learn that the warranty was only good for 3 weeks, which they had exceeded. Pastor Tim said it got so bad that they would wake up covered with bug bites, and this sticky, ooey, gooey fluid would just, I told you, I warned you, okay? This sticky, ooey, gooey fluid on their bodies. And he said it was just gross. So he called another pest control company because they didn't have $1,900 to see what they can do. And this company said they'll come out and treat and it wouldn't cause as much because what they do is they spray. But in order for their product to work, it had to be sprayed directly on the bugs. In other words, they couldn't just spray it, and if they sprayed it and if a bug walked over, it wouldn't kill them. It had to make direct contact. So he felt like they were stuck with living with these pesky bed bugs. Tim said it got really, really bad. They did not have another $1,900 to spend. The option to spray seemed like just a waste of money. And this time, the bugs was worse than they were before. He said the situation looked and felt hopeless. So while they're dealing with this bed bug infestation, they started hearing noises in the attic, which they soon discovered that they had chipmunks who'd also decided that they was going to come into their house and make it their abode as well. So Tim said they put out traps, and in a very short time, they had trapped 21 chipmunks. His wife then told him, she probably wanted to move, but no, it got worse. His wife told him that she was seeing mouse droppings all over the house, in the drawers and in various places throughout the kitchen. And when Tim said they thought it cannot get any worse than this, it got worse. Yep. To top it all off, their house also became infested with ants. So Pastor Tim and his wife found themselves with a serious bed bug infestation. They had chipmunks living in the attic, mice in the house, and a major ant problem, and he had very little or no money to use to get rid of the pest. He came to the end of himself, and he said one night he just couldn't take it anymore, so he went outside to have a talk with the Lord. He wanted to talk to God about what was happening in his house, hoping that God would be gracious and that God would intervene. And God did intervene, but not like he thought. Tim said that he went out and he looked up and he said, "Lord, I need your help down here. I've got ants. I've got mice. I've got chipmunks, I've got bed bugs, and I need your help." And he waited for the Lord's response. And God responded. But this is what the Lord said. "I don't have a bed bug problem in heaven. He thought, surely I didn't hear you right. What did you say, Lord? God said, I don't have a bed bug problem in heaven. I don't have an ant problem. I don't have a mice problem. I don't have a chipmunk problem. Upon hearing the words of the Lord, Pastor Tim said he went back in his house and he got down on his knees and he began to pray and exercise dominion authority. He first prayed to the Lord and thanked God for who he was. And he thanked God for who he was in him and for what God had done for him. He thanked the Lord for the Jesus and what Jesus had provided. And he said, I then spoke these words. He said, I command every chipmunk, every mouse, every ant, and every bedbug to get out of my house now, or I curse you to the death. Either you leave my house or you die. At my command, either you leave or you die. Pastor Tim said he got up off his knees, and in a matter of days, not weeks, but days, every ant, every mouse, every chipmunk and every bedbug was gone out of his house. And they never came back. Why? Because he took authority and he prayed to God. He prayed a prevailing prayer. And after he prayed with God, he exercised dominion over the living things that was in his house that did not belong there. He took dominion through what I call prevailing prayer. Because God said in Genesis 1 that he'd given man dominion over everything that moves on the earth. Prevailing prayer is prayer that understands that we're part of a kingdom that is advancing, a kingdom that is one of authority, and a kingdom that exercises dominion over everything that moves on earth. Now, our primary fight, of course, is not with bed bugs. It's not with ants. It's not with mice. It's not with cute little chipmunks. Our primary battle is against the powers of darkness that presses into our world. But the same principles apply. Doesn't matter if you're dealing with a bed bug, an ant, a mouse, or a chipmunk, or demon spirit, you have been given by God dominion and authority. And when you walk in that authority, and when you speak forth words of that authority, and when you pray to God, believing that God will do what he said, your prayers will prevail. God has given us both dominion and authority on earth. But you got to use it. Jesus said the gates of Hades or the gates of hell shall not prevail against or be victorious over the church. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You got to get that. He's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Giving you the keys. Keys mean authority. And through Peter, Jesus passed on to the church the authority to bind and to loose on earth what is already in heaven. An authority that he procured and activated through his cross. And now we, the church, We are charged with implementing on earth what Jesus released through his life, death, and resurrection. Listen, as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. Is that not what Jesus meant when he taught his disciples to pray? He said in Matthew 6:10 that we're to pray to our Father in heaven. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? On earth. What will? The same will is in heaven. Listen. Heaven's realities are to invade the earthly realm. You see, Pastor Tim got what God said. When God said, I don't have a bedbug problem in heaven, he really was saying, why you don't have on earth what I have in heaven? Because I've already provided it for you. Binding and loosing. That is forbidding and permitting. And God, through Jesus, has given the church the authority to determine what will be permitted and what will not. Did you hear what I said? Do you believe what I said? God, through Jesus, has given us, the church. Now, let me rephrase that. I want you to see yourself a little bit differently. So instead of saying the church, I'm going to say the body of Christ, which is the church. You see, sometimes in our mind, it's easy to separate the church from Jesus if you don't realize that we're one. But you can't separate the body from the head. We're the body. He's the head. And because we are his body, God has given us the authority to determine what will be permitted on earth and what will not. We determine that according to our faith in what God has said, and according to the words that we speak, including the words that we pray. Through Jesus, the body of Christ has been empowered to carry on the privileged responsibility of advancing God's kingdom on earth. And he has given us his power and his provisions to do so. And when the church understands the power of prayer as we should, and when we begin to move in that power, the world will see what Jesus came to establish. But we must open our mouths to speak and pray what God will have us speak and pray. Your prayers will prevail if you pray, and if you pray in faith. The body of Christ has been lifeless. The body of Christ has been powerless. And in many cases, invisible. We cannot impact this world for Jesus if we do not begin to live out what has been written in God's word concerning the church. His word calls us to pray, yet many in the church won't do it. So why do we not pray? Busyness of life? I got a job, Pastor. I got to go to work. Distractions of life? you just don't understand all that I've got going on. You don't have time. Here's a good one. You want somebody else to pray for you. Or maybe, just maybe, you really don't believe your prayers will make a difference. Many in the church won't pray. And they wonder why life is the way it is. They wonder, where is your presence, God? Why do I feel hopeless? Why do I not believe? Because many won't pray. A life without prayer is a life without power. You must pray. You must pray prevailing prayers. You must fill the atmosphere with words of power. You must fill the atmosphere with words of prayer. You must pray prayers that will prevail. Jesus said the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church, which means that we're to prevail against hell. We're to be a force that cannot be stopped, a light that cannot be put out, a people who will not be moved away from what God has called us to do. Matthew 11:12, and Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The NIV puts it this way. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. You must be forceful in your prayer to lay hold of what God has promised. In his book, Prayer is Invading the Impossible, Pastor Jack Hayford writes, and I quote, "Few things have contributed to spiritual barrenness in the church Christ founded, as has the idea that prayer is mere quiet, meditational passivism. There is a time to be silent. There is a time to be still. A time to know the awesomeness of God's person and presence. But prayer is alive. It is aloud with praise, aglow with warmth, attuned with song, aflame with power. Prayer is also unsettling in its violence. Not in the violence of its practice, but in the violence of its impact when it is exercised with power." I want to read that again because Pastor Jack has a way of saying things that kind of twists, you know. Anyway, he's Pastor Jack. And he uses words, okay, now what do you mean by this? I want to read this to you again. "Few things have contributed to spiritual barrenness in the church Christ founded, as has the idea that prayer is mere quiet, meditational passivism. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to be still. A time to know the awesomeness of God's person and presence. But prayer, it is alive. It is aloud with praise, aglow with warmth, attuned with song, aflame with power. Prayer is also unsettling in its violence, not in the violence of its practice, but in the violence of its impact when it is exercised with power." End of quote. So prayer is not to be words uttered that's void of meaning, substance, or conviction, But prayer is to be words that are filled with power, praise, and a strong belief that when we pray as instructed by the Lord, our prayers will prevail. Our prayers will change the atmosphere. Our prayers will impact the world we live in and the people of this world. Prayer is a tool we must use if we're going to exercise authority over the forces and powers of hell. Prevailing prayer will change your world. James, the Lord's brother, writes in James 5, verses 17 and 18. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. James teaches here that in spite of his greatness, and Elijah was a great man, he was still a man just like us. He was a man subject to the same feelings that we feel, to the same doubt, to the same unbelief. He was a man that was liable to the same weaknesses that we all have and that we all have to fight through. But Elijah believed in the power of effectual or prevailing prayer, the type of prayer that is miracle producing. And this type of prayer is not limited to a select few, such as apostles, the prophets, the pastors, or evangelists, the teachers, or any other leader in the church. It's not limited to a select few. But the type of prayer that he's talking about is not the kind of prayer that's limited to even a great hero of faith such as Elijah. But this type of miracle-working prayer is available to all who will believe. And who will pray? All believers can pray prayers that prevail. All believers can release heaven's power through prayer and expect the same results that Elijah got because he was a man just like we are. He had a nature just like our nature. He just took God at his word. And God proved his word to be true. And sometimes we have a hard time taking God at his word. We make excuses why what God said won't work for us. Let me conclude with another quote from Pastor Jack's book, Prayers Invading the Impossible. And I quote, prayer is not a piece of antique religious furniture to be displayed on special occasions like an ornament, nor is it a matter of spiritual guesswork by which a holy roll of the heavenly dice is made to see if you might strike it rich, a kind of godly gamble hoping against the apparently inevitable. That kind of thinking has a name. That name is snake eyes. Satan, the serpent, has hypnotized most of mankind with an astonishingly complex set of ideas which hinders prayer. Knowing as he does that only praying people can break his called death grip on the planet, Satan has breathed concept after concept into the framework of human thought. These concepts dominate all who still live under the control of and within the structures of that destroyer's order of things. However, everyone say however. Jesus has pioneered a new race. From among the moving dead, Jesus has called to himself all who would join him in life. All are welcome to answer his invitation to live, a possibility he made available when he broke the death trap by succumbing voluntarily to it and then rising again. Life is dangerously present. The freed, those that are in Christ, are to be communicators of life. They have the ability to give it wherever they will, and prayer is the basic pattern of transmission. When you learn to employ prayer, life will continue to overwhelm the forces of death. You and I, this is, you got to listen. Listen to what Pastor Jack wrote. And I agree with this 100%, or I wouldn't be saying it. You and I will help to decide which of these two things, blessing or cursing, happen on earth. We will determine whether God's greatness, God's goodness is released towards specific situations, or whether the power of sin and Satan is permitted to prevail. Prayer is the determining factor. But the problem is, too few want to accept the fact that if we don't pray, God won't do anything. Listen to this again. Life is dangerously present. Those of us in Christ have been freed, and we are to be the communicators of God's life. We have the ability to give it wherever we will. And prayer is the basic pattern of transmission. When we learn to employ it, life will continually, your life, when you learn to employ prayer, your life will continually overwhelm the forces of death, because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And you and I, us, everyone say, you talking to me. You and I will help decide which of these two things, blessing or cursing, happen on earth. We will determine whether God's goodness is released towards specific situations, or whether the power of sin and Satan is permitted to prevail. Prayer is the determining factor, but the problem is, too few want to accept the fact that if we don't pray, God won't do anything. End of quote. Pastor Kenneth Hagin tells this story of a time he was when his communication with God was being distracted, resisted, impacted by this little demon spirit. He said he would go before the Lord to pray, and he's praying, and he sensed the Lord was communicating back with him. But he said there was this demon presence that was just distracting and irritating and just was between him and God. Finally said, God, won't you do something about this spirit? Do something about this demon. And God said, if you won't, I can't. You see, that messes up I know that messed up most of your minds here. God said, if you won't, I can't. Why? Because I've given you authority on earth. Good to see you. I've given you authority on earth. And if you don't exercise that authority, I can't do nothing. Wow. Prayers that prevail. You are the body of Christ. You are a force that cannot be stopped. You are a voice that is ready to be heard. You are a power that's ready to be released. Let the Lord unleash the power of his kingdom and let him do it through you. But you got to take a stand and refuse to give in to the forces of darkness. You've got to know who you are in Christ, and you've got to pray, church, like you've never prayed before. And if you'll do your part, God has already done his part, and you will see results, because God is God. He cannot lie, and what he said he's going to do, he's already done it. And Jesus said, I give you the keys of my kingdom. Now you go, and whatever you bind on earth has been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has been loosed in heaven, because you are my body.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered and equipped by today's podcast. Thanks again for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.